to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me again this week on an actual on-time episode of the NXT Podcast. It's a new thing I'm trying. It's pretty cool. I didn't take a mountain trip this week, so you're getting the podcast on time, and I'm happy to be here with you for a less interesting version of last week's show. We didn't get a ton new, necessarily, but we got some interesting stuff. So that'll be fun to talk about. As always, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. You can always find me over on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Usually, I get the news and notes that I talk about at the beginning right from Twitter. In this case, that is not the case because this is the debut of a new segment called Scroll in the News, and what it definitely isn't is that I forgot to come up with something newsworthy, and so I'm just going to type WWE into Google and go to the news tab. So if that's what you thought it was, you're wrong, and you should believe in me more. This is called Scrolling the News. I thought about this ahead of time and definitely didn't just do that thing I said, and now I'm just going to freestyle it for you. If you type in WWE News into Google, which I didn't do, the first thing you're going to see is that Eric Bischoff is to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame class of 2021. That's interesting for a few reasons. Eric Bischoff ran WCW, the only real legitimate competition for WWE since AEW came along, and then he was the Raw general manager for a long time. He was very good at that. It's only really surprising because he's made a couple of appearances in AEW, and WWE are big fans of banning you for life if you show up in AEW, so that's interesting. So I don't know if maybe they're trying to do that Legends contract thing with him to keep him away from there, or if they just don't care, or maybe they weren't watching, but that's not true. But good for Eric Bischoff. He absolutely is a Hall of Famer. And it's the WWE Hall of Fame. It's not like it's the be-all, end-all anyway. Let's see. The next headline that you would see was that Shawn Michaels regrets unretiring for disastrous WWE tag team match. Now, if I remember that right, that was from the Crown Jewel show where Shawn Michaels teamed up with Triple H against Kane and The Undertaker. I want to say the feud was based around, like, respect or something. Like, one of these teams made the decision that the other team didn't respect them enough. You know, in the 90s when they wrestled, they took them almost 20 years to come to the conclusion that those two dudes we worked with all the time didn't respect us. And the best way to solve this is to do, I forget if that's a Saudi Arabia show. I'm gonna say it is, to do a Saudi Arabia tag team match, because this dead person and his brother who was burnt in a fire, but not really, didn't respect us. So that's the match with bald Shawn Michaels. That's also the match where early in the match, Kane is on the top rope and his mask falls off. Triple H tore a pec, maybe? This is during the stretch of Undertaker Last Ride, of matches that Undertaker didn't like, because The Undertaker has been wrestling for much longer than you are supposed to, and was hobbled. Shawn Michaels still looked good, but one man cannot carry a tag team match, and so it was a bad match. People don't really expect for wrestlers that retire to stay retired. Ric Flair went to TNA almost immediately after Shawn Michaels beat him. Hulk Hogan has never really retired. Bret Hart only retired because he had to. People who retire tend to come back. I don't think anybody had a problem with that. I think people had a problem with there were dream matches against like AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and all these people that he would not go for because he really wanted to stick by that retirement from The Undertaker. And I guess he justified it to himself because it was a match with The Undertaker and it's a Saudi Arabia show, so it's probably a lot of money. And he came back and had a bad match, and now I guess he's retired again. So either stay retired or have like interesting matches. Maybe don't have matches with three other dudes from the Attitude Era where nothing really is accomplished. That would probably be good. Let's see. Paul White discusses his frustrations with WWE and speaks up about pay. Here's the thing. Does Paul White have a lot of value to add to an organization? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how much longer Paul White was going to wrestle. The last time I think that we saw him wrestle would have been Randy Orton after WrestleMania or Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania or on the Raw after. He wasn't really going to be an in-ring competitor. I don't know if he wanted to be an announcer or what. Listen, I'm usually the guy that gets on WWE for not retaining their talent and being shady with business and just generally not being good people. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. If Paul White's contract was coming up and he wanted big money, I also would not have re-signed Paul White. I just don't necessarily see the value for a lot of money. You have somebody who's not going to wrestle that often. He was all right in his heyday. He's a giant. That's cool. I'm told a lot about how athletic he was and that he was told not to be. Maybe he should have been. I'm going to agree with WWE here. I wouldn't have re-signed him either. Last couple. Andrade confirms rumors he requested release from WWE contract. Yeah, I mean, that's probably good because I don't remember the last thing he did on TV. And I don't remember anything important that he's done in a really, really long time. He's just kind of there, and he's very talented. That's another guy who was in NXT for a while, and he had a lot of success, and he came to the main roster, and I forget if that's the Paul Heyman era, but that's somebody that Paul Heyman could do something with, and then they decided that wasn't going to work, and maybe we should put some more of these older white dudes that we're used to in charge. That don't have, like, super creative ideas, and he just kind of fell by the wayside because he's not, like, a jacked-up white dude that speaks perfect English. If I was Andrade, I would request my release, too. Now, he did marry Charlotte Flair, so that's awkward, but at the same time, Charlotte Flair is always going to be secure as one of the top women in this company, and clearly Andrade is not. Now, I am not saying that Vince doesn't like him because he doesn't speak perfect English, but I am saying that there's a clip of Vince McMahon from the Stone Cold podcast saying that Cesaro doesn't connect with the fans, I don't know, maybe because he's Swiss or something, unquote. So what I am saying is if English is not your first language, you had damn sure better pick another company, because we can work with you if you are a Bobby Lashley or a Brock Lesnar that speaks perfect English but doesn't have the voice that matches your body and don't have a good promo. But if you are any kind of superstar and English is not your first language or you have broken English, they got nothing for you. NXT can do it. Vince McMahon, I'm going to let you fill in the blank, seems to have some weird problem with that. And so, yeah, I would probably request my release, too. That was my super well thought out segment called Scrolling the News that I 100% planned beforehand. NXT, we got a recap of last week, the NXT title match with Finn Balor and Adam Cole, a fantastic match, as you would expect from the two best NXT champions of all time. If you didn't watch it, go back and watch it from last week. Karrion Kross makes his presence known to Finn Balor at the end, who again just looks over his shoulder, says, "What took you so long?" Karrion Kross says TikTok, and Finn just smirks at him. It's very cool. Also, TikTok's not a very scary thing for a man to say to another man, is what I am just realizing as I'm talking. Finn Balor's out first. He says, "St. Patrick's Day 2021, Finn Balor is still the NXT champion." Get it? Because he's Irish. He said, "Kyle O'Reilly, beat him. Pete Dunne, beat him. Adam Cole, beat him. And now only one remains." He says, "Karrion Kross, I have been waiting for you at Stand and Deliver. Your time is up." At that point, predictably, he is interrupted by Karrion Kross and Scarlett coming out. It is at this point that I put in my notes that a dude, in this case Karrion Kross, wearing a t-shirt and wrestling gear, i.e. not tights, I am blanking on what short tights are called, wrestling gear. A dude in a t-shirt and wrestling gear, not very intimidating, not to be taken super seriously. Weirdly, a dude in a leather jacket in wrestling gear is fine. It's just a t-shirt. That is the problem. You either have to go no shirt or shirt and like jeans or leather jacket wrestling gear, because t-shirt wrestling gear makes you look like you were getting changed and aren't done yet, and he said something that made you mad, so you ran out mid-change, is what all of that looks like. Cross says, "Now that we've settled our separate affairs, here we are." He said, "Here at NXT, they need to know who the real champion is." He said, "You need to know it, I need to know it, the world needs to know it." Finn says, "Everybody wants to be champion until the real champion walks into the room." He said, "Here's the truth and the thing that people don't have the balls to say to you. You walk like a champion, you talk like a champion, but there's one problem you aren't. Finn Balor is. You don't have what it takes to be in the main event and beat me." Cross says, "I promise you at TakeOver, you are going to know exactly what it feels like when I squeeze all of the oxygen out of your skull and I choke you out. Now I will grant, that is a very intimidating thing to say to another human, to very specifically say what you're going to do. And a chokehold is much more intimidating when you call it squeezing all the oxygen out of somebody's skull and choking them out." Finn retorts, "You're going to know what it feels like to be in the main event of TakeOver and choke." Those were very good promos. That will absolutely work. What will not work is Scarlett starts talking about seeing this in the cards, and I'm going to be honest, it's dumb, and I stopped listening. I did pick up that she said that she saw this because she's psychic or something. She's like every girl or dude that you've ever met that's into tarot cards. That's the best way I can describe to you how she talks. She said she saw this, two champions draped in gold despite the fact that there is one gold belt between the two of them. Stop it. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch come out. They're the tag team champions, so this is the gold she was talking about. So even worse, she really is psychic, so it's double stupid. Danny Burch has a British accent. That's cool. Oni Lorcan is a guy who everything about him says that he should have a British accent, but he does not. It has been so long since I have seen Oni Lorcan talk that I forgot he doesn't have a British accent, and he really should. So, Oni Lorcan says the guy who should be facing Finn Balor for the NXT title is Pete Dunne. I don't know how they came to that conclusion. Pete Dunne just faced Finn Balor and lost. So they say they know Pete Dunne can beat Finn, and Pete Dunne can beat Karrion Kross. I know for a fact he can't beat Finn, and I don't think he could beat Karrion Kross. Scarlett says more dumb cryptic stuff, and it ends up that the NXT Tag Team Champions are going to be on the line tonight. Finn and Kross are going to team up. Mackenzie Mitchell is outside William Regal's office. Ciampa comes out instead. Basically, there's some intimation that Imperium is behind Thatcher being attacked earlier, and he's challenging Imperium, saying he's going to go through them one by one until only one is left, referring to Walter. Adam Cole's arriving at the building. He looks upset for some reason. I wonder why. Adam Cole's now in the ring. He says that last week, Kyle O'Reilly made the biggest mistake of his life. He said before, I wasn't mad at Kyle, I just didn't need him. He said then Kyle decides to cost me the NXT title. That's an interesting, good, bad guy, rose-colored glasses way of looking at it, because if I remember correctly, Kyle O'Reilly didn't touch him until the match was over. But if you're a delusional bad guy, there's the word delusional that I was stalling for to figure out and couldn't. If you're a delusional bad guy, yeah, he definitely cost me the title somehow. I like it. That works. He said, you know deep in your heart that you are jealous of me because you know you will never be as successful as me. Now, that's a good bad guy thing to say. That's also probably true. It's Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. One of those is probably going to be more successful than the other one, and it's probably going to be Adam Cole. Adam Cole says, congrats, because you just wrote your death warrant. Cole says, I don't give a damn if Kyle is medically cleared or not. He needs to bring himself down here now to settle this. Instead, it's William Regal who gets a loud reaction from the virtual crowd that is there. Regal says that last week, Kyle wasn't even cleared to be in this building, and as a result of his actions, Kyle has further damaged his neck. He said, I can promise you Kyle is not here because he's been banned from the Capitol Wrestling Center altogether. Okay. Video screen pops up, and it's Kyle, and I think he's in a car. He's saying that he's out for the foreseeable future, and it's more for Adam Cole's safety. Kyle says, I'm a patient guy generally, but when it comes to you, I can't wait. At that point, he buckles his seatbelt, indicating that something's going to happen. He says, we've been friends for 11 years, and you tried to end my career. He says, I know where you live, I know where you like to hang out, and I know where you buy your video games. I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but I'll do it. And he said, that is absolutely a threat. Video cuts off. Adam Cole goes over to Regal, says, now he's going to threaten me. He says, Kyle can say he's going to find me and hurt me, but not if I find him first. He walks off. Regal follows. It seems as though, in a situation like this, you guys could both just agree to meet, like, in the parking lot of this building, or the one across the street, and save you both selves, like, some time. Because if you both are looking for each other, you're probably going to miss each other a bunch. And you probably haven't gotten around to blocking each other's numbers yet. So just be like, yo, meet me at the building or at the gas station across from the building, and then we can fight. That just seems like an easier way to set this up. Next segment is really NXT being out here showing me a highlight package from last week about NXT women's titles that were created last week. Stop it. These don't mean anything. I'm all for women's wrestling history. I really am. But there is already a women's tag team title, and they don't mean anything. So what do these mean? Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon are being interviewed. Blah, blah, blah. The Robert Stone brand, Aaliyah, and the other one whose name I never remember, challenge Shotzi and Ember for the titles next week, and they accept. Sincerely and completely, I hope that Shotzi and Ember lose. I hope that every NXT Women's Tag Team title match ends with a new set of champions. Like 100% of the title matches result in a new champion, because that is what these titles deserve. And it would just be fantastic if every single week you had to come up with a new women's tag team, because you have to do it every time there is a title match. There's a promo video for Sarai, I think I said it right, who they classified as a Japanese superstar, who's coming next week. I don't know. I don't think anything about her. But if NXT is hyping it up, then chances are it's a big deal. I'm excited to see what she's got. Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai are out because Dakota is facing Zoe Stark. I believe we've only really seen Zoe Stark face Io Shirai. It was a loss and I think it was a non-title match. Don't remember. Dakota Kai eventually wins. Thank goodness. Wouldn't want her to look like a fool or a loser or anything. The announcers really, really want you to know that even though she lost again, Zoe Stark is something special. Now, listen, I don't know Zoe Stark the person or the wrestler, but I do know Zoe Stark, the in-storyline performer, has had two matches. One against Io Shirai. She had a good showing. That's cool. The other one's against Dakota Kai, who's never been women's champion, who never really even got close to being women's champion. She had matches with Io Shirai, but those were never in doubt. And then last week, won new tag team titles, only to lose them in this very same show that she won them. So, if you can't beat that person, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with that. Like, you can only go so far with the, yes, they lost, but they were very impressive in defeat thing. You can do that, you know, for a little bit, but at a certain point, I'm just going to get conditioned to watch somebody lose. And now Zoe Stark is like a well-built-up enhancement talent, and that's fine if that's what you want her to be. But if you want her to be more than that, having her lose and then tell me, no, 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 she lost, but she was very impressive every time, starts to not feel like that's true. So Zoe loses. Raquel and Dakota are trash-talking Zoe in the corner when Io Shirai's music hits, and Io comes out with the championship around her waist, but also a contract in her hands. Io steps in the ring, and Dakota steps up to Io, starts talking trash, and Io walks around her without looking at her, looks her up and down before she does that, walks up to Raquel Gonzalez, and boy, Raquel is much bigger than Io. Says, I told you I want you for the NXT title, and slams the contract right into Raquel, takes Zoe, and walks out. So, I suppose then we just don't really care about what's going on with Dakota Kai. She beat Zoe Stark. That doesn't mean anything. Last week, she was NXT Tag Team Women's Champion, first ever. Also doesn't mean anything, but then lost it at the end of the show, which means, like, negative. Then this week, she stepped up for some reason, even though Io said she wanted Raquel, stepping up to Io as if Io was there for her, having already beaten her. And then the champion just walks past her so dismissively that she didn't even make eye contact with her and wasn't worried about her, and then she didn't do anything about it. So from that tag match, Raquel's going to be fine. Shotzi and Ember, I guess, are fine. Dakota's really the only person that lost in that, and boy, isn't that great. Sure, that's fine. So Io walks out. We're going to see more of that later. Regal's in the back being interviewed, but is told that something happened with Adam Cole by, a producer, and Regal runs off to check. Before we get back to that, Imperium is making their entrance. I believe it's Fabian Aichner and Marcel Bartel. Those are hard names to say if you aren't 100% sure that those are the names. Before they can finish their entrance, though, Ciampa attacks them. It's actually Bartel versus Ciampa. Ciampa ends up winning the match, and he's saying one down, I presumably three to go to get to Walter. And, oh, no, we're not doing all that because Walter's here right now. This is cool for a few reasons. Walter is one of the best wrestlers in the company. He was in that Survivor Series match that Keith Lee is known for, but Walter got one of the loudest reactions for before being eliminated much too soon. Walter has been a fantastic champion. It's just been a match of the year candidate machine since coming over. We are clearly bringing in all the big guns for the two-night stand and deliver special that's happening. We're bringing in Walter literally from the UK when I don't think he was interested in coming from the UK, because now we have a two-night NXT show, so we gotta do something. The announcers mentioned that Walter has been UK champ for 712 days. That is much longer than I thought. I remember him beating Pete Dunne to win that championship. I did not realize it had been that long. I don't watch NXT UK, so I hadn't really been keeping up with it. Time certainly flies. Walter's on the apron, and then Ciampa gets attacked by the other two guys in Imperium, and they all take him out. So Presumably then, at Stand and Deliver, we are going to get Ciampa and Walter. I don't see any reason why that would be for the UK title. That's not necessary. But what will happen is they'll have a really good match, and Walter's going to chop the hell out of Ciampa. And that's going to be fun, and they're going to have a really good match. And I know I say this a lot, but boy, I wish there were crowds, because that would be great. But there aren't going to be. There's going to be a bunch of video screens, and it's going to kind of sound like a video game. That's fine. We'll work with it. We cut to outside. Adam Cole's in handcuffs, O'Reilly's in handcuffs, and in the back of a police car. Seems as though Kyle tried to run Adam Cole off of the road, so I'm unclear as to whether Kyle O'Reilly was just sitting outside waiting for Adam Cole to come out, or if this was something random that happened, but presumably there was a scuffle because of that. So they're both in handcuffs. They're both being arrested. What's weird is that the cop cars are all like white SUVs, and the cars have mostly green lights for some reason. I'm not sure what specific police force has green lights and like a little bit of red. The Christmas police, I guess, would have green and a little bit of red if they were a police force that only dealt with explicitly Christmas-related crimes. They would certainly have green and red lights. Actual police, though, I don't know about. So these weird SUV rent-a-cops just kind of show up with their weird lights and arrest Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly because this feud has gone too far. I don't know, man. It's all right. I suppose WWE is big fans of making something seem real by having one or multiple people get arrested. That worked really well with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and there's been diminishing returns since. And because of that and WWE's propensity to use it, this didn't feel like a big deal. If the last time that this had happened was Stone Cold getting arrested, then this would have felt like a big deal. But this is not quite a crutch, but close to it for WWE. So that's what it feels like. LA Knight is back. Eli Drake, he said everybody's talking about what's going to happen tonight. He's walking down a hallway, and during his promo, Bronson Reed walks in a door that's just behind him and goes into the hallway behind him, doesn't notice him. He just shakes his head and walks off. So that'll be a good first feud. I don't know where Bronson Reed has been, but if you need somebody for LA Knight to beat, then that's probably a good one. LA Knight's theme music sounds like the first draft of a Dr. Dre beat. Like, some of the elements are there, but Dre clearly hasn't had time to work on it. So he hasn't put all of the, like, good Dre stuff in, but there is some West Coast stuff in there. Either Dr. Dre's first draft or, like, an impersonator of Dr. Dre. I don't love it. I don't hate it. We're right in the middle there. It's at this point I realize that he's facing an enhancement talent. That's interesting. And by that, I do mean it's not interesting at all. During the match, Bronson Reed comes out. He has LA Knight's jacket on, and he flexes and he breaks it. Do you get it? It's because LA Knight really likes that jacket. And also, Bronson Reed is bigger than LA Knight. So that's cool. Despite the interference, the enhancement talent gets some offense in, but LA Knight is obviously your winner. Eli Drake is a very good wrestler, solid wrestler, and he's a good promo when he is doing his own promo. He has a shtick that he does, and the problem is a little bit that he sounds like The Rock and Stone Cold melded together, but he really is a good promo when he gets going, and he is very, very solid in the ring. So if he's allowed to be himself here, he will do well. I do worry that this is a little bit of an EC3 situation where you have a good talker who's solid in the ring, who has kind of a I'm better than you gimmick, and then he does okay in NXT, but then on the main roster they just don't like him at all for some reason. But Eli Drake is very talented, and if his talent can shine through, then I think he's going to be just fine. Our main event has a lot of time, and it's a very good match. You need to go back and watch it. At some point, Finn ends up accidentally running into Scarlett. Oney Lorcan ends up pinning Balor, but then he's getting suplexed a bunch by Karrion Kross. By this time, Finn Balor has stood back up, and Karrion Kross attacks him. He chokes out Finn. Scarlett then picks Finn up so that Cross can club him in the back of the head. That's his finisher, and I don't know what it's called, but a club to the back of the head is just fine. Scarlett lays the title over Finn as we're going off the air. She says everything happens for a reason, and you can't escape fate. So she's just saying whatever at this point. She reminds me of the kind of person that would tell you that she's not religious, but she's spiritual, and she has like a crystal collection, and she has tarot cards, but doesn't use them that often because she's worried about the energy. And she is vegan like right now, but she was vegetarian last week, and then you saw her eat like a steak burrito one time, and then she's going through a transition period. That's who Scarlett is, and I don't know if that's the vibe they wanted to give me with Scarlett, but that's the vibe I have. Yeah, very similar, yeah. And then she has a boyfriend who has a truck that's lifted, and he doesn't work out that much, but he works out like enough that there's some definition there, and he takes testosterone supplements, so he's angry all the time. So that's my takeaway from that. And again, I don't know if that's what they wanted me to take away from that, but that's exactly what I got from it. So needless to say, that's a good setup for your main event. Boy, I hope Finn Balor retains the title. But with that segment, that's the end of NXT. So that's the end of me for this week. Again, let me know what you thought of the show over on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. In the meantime, you can check back next week. You can also check the other podcast, Random Wrestling. It's just me. I pick a random wrestling show on the network, and I have to talk about it. New episodes of that will be out this week as well. In the meantime, that's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic. Thank you for listening.